Hello and welcome to Crossroads. If you're visiting with us for the first time, we are so excited to have you with us. We hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. Join us for a classic Christmas concert on December 12th, 13th, and 14th. Enjoy your favorite Christmas classics with special guests Tyrone Wells and Johnny and Emily Boss. If you're a parent, you're gonna wanna make Friday, December 12th your showtime. On Friday only, our Impact Kids Ministry will be having their Winter Blast at 7 p.m. Make it a date night by dropping your kids off at the Winter Blast while you enjoy a classic Christmas concert. And of course, we have our candlelit Christmas Eve services beginning December 23rd at 7 p.m. and December 24th at 2, 4, and 7. Every weekend in the month of December, Pastor Chuck will take us through a series called Prophecy, where we'll study the prophecies leading to Jesus. During the last weekend of December, we'll hear about end times and where we're at in relation to Jesus' return. But we know most of you send out Christmas cards to your family and friends every year, and we want to be on your list. So bring your family Christmas card to our lobby beginning next week. We'd like to display it and show off our Crossroads family. Well, once again, we want to thank you for being part of this church. Crossroads, please welcome our senior pastor, Chuck Brewer.
Hey, if you're brand new, we want to connect with you. And by the way, even if you're not brand new and we've not connected with you yet, there's a card called the Connection Card in your seats around you. If you would fill that out, we want to get you information on the church. We want to more than ever let you know things that I think you'll want to know. One of which, by the way, is next Sunday afternoon, right after this service, we're going to have a next step with Chuck, and that's where we want to have lunch together. I want to share my testimony with you. I want to tell you about the church. So if you've never connected in or you're brand new, please come. We have children's ministry available. Love to do that with you. But if you fill out this card, we can get you even more things. Fill it out and drop it in the offering, and that would really help us out a lot. I want to have you get ready for our study, and we're going to pray in a moment. A lot of scripture is coming your way. But if you're not aware, what we're doing is this. We're doing 30 weeks in Believe. The first section is now stopping for this section, for this point in time, and we'll go into a special Christmas series. But today's message is vital for you to grab hold of and understand as we look at the most essential truths of Christianity. Then next week, we go into a series called Prophecy, and we're going to talk about the first coming prophecies of Jesus. Now, you may not know this. Are you ready? 27% of the Bible is prophetic. Now, you ready for this? Everything that God said would come true has come true exactly as God said. And so I want to show you some of the ones, how incredible they are as we dig into that in the coming weeks. Then the last weekend of December, we're going to do second coming prophecies, prophecies that have been fulfilled in our day and time, some that are just about to take place. And I want to show you how close we are to the coming of the Lord. It's a big subject. We're going to dig in. So as we started looking at it together, here's what we decided to do. It's so big that the last weekend of December, we're going to have one or two worship songs, and then I'm just going to come out and preach for like an hour and 15 minutes. So as some of you are clapping, others of you are going, what? And by the way, today's message is called Eternity. That will feel like an eternity. But I really can't wait to share with you where we're at and what God's doing in the world scene today. So knowing all that, one last thing I forgot to tell you. Next weekend, we think this would be really fun. We want to call next weekend our festive Christmas sweater weekend. Now, that's mine right there with the decapitated snowman. And I love to wear that and have little children go, why is his head off? And but I'll be wearing mine. I hope you wear yours. I think it'll be fun. All right, let's pray and we'll dig in. Father, I thank you and praise you that you love us the way you do. And you care for us the way you do. And your great desire is for us to spend not only this life, but eternity with you. And Lord, I know it's a choice each one of us have to make, and I know your will is that we would choose you. We would choose love, we would choose heaven. But I know to not choose or to just choose away is something we can't miss either. So I pray we would see, Lord, that eternity matters, and it matters now what we do in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Where are you going to go when you die? I want you to think about that, because the bottom line is this: when God created you, he created you eternal. The bottom line is being, when you were created in the image of God, a big part of what that meant is you're an eternal being. You're not finite, you're infinite. And so what is going to to happen to you determines on where you're at with God in your relationship with him now and how you want to spend eternity. And Genesis 1:27, it says, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Since you're in the image of God, you're an eternal being. And when you die, you need to know where you're going to spend eternity. We need to understand that God has made it apparent within our hearts there is an eternity. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, it says this, he, God, has made everything beautiful in its time. And he has put eternity into man's heart, yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from beginning to end. Now, even though some people want to try to deny it, God said, I have made it clear to you that this life is not all there is. When you die, there's something awaiting you. And you have a choice right now which one that will be. There's either hell or there's heaven. And the reality is God's desire is for everyone to go to heaven. But he's not going to force it on anybody. And Jesus actually said this. He said, strive to enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is broad and the way is wide that leads to destruction, to hell. He says, but the gate is narrow. And the way is difficult that leads to eternal life. And there are few that find it. You see, I want to ask you, which one are you going to be? Are you going to be one that when you shut your eyes for the last time, or by the way, when the rapture happens, which we'll get to for a moment, will you be caught up into heaven with God in a place of love and care with God the Father because you know him? Or will you not be there? And we have to understand that just like it says in the movie Gladiator, what you do now will echo throughout all eternity. So here's what I want you to grab hold of. There are two places that people could go. The first is this, Hades, then hell. If you see that on your notes, Hades, then hell. You see, Hades is actually a place that people begin their eternity until the great white throne judgment happens, and then hell comes. The eternity for people who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is Hades and then hell. The word Hades is a Greek word that's used 11 times in the New Testament. Hades is a place of torment while people await judgment, and then they're cast into hell. In Luke 16:23, Jesus was telling the story of a rich man who would never ever live for God. He would never do the right things. He would never have the right heart and the right motives. And he actually had a man right in front of him named Lazarus, who was a very godly man, that he could have helped. He could have made a difference in his life. And when this rich man died, according to Jesus, he went to Hades. And listen to what Jesus said in verse 23 of Luke 16. In Hades, he lifted up his eyes, being in torment. He was feeling. He was aware. He was conscious. Being in torment and saw Abraham far away and Lazarus in his bosom. Jesus in verse 24 says that the man said, I am in agony in this flame. He was tortured within and tortured without. In verse 28, he calls it a place of torment. And so anybody who dies without a real relationship with God goes to Hades awaiting a time of judgment, and then they're cast into hell. In Revelation 20, verse 13, it's interesting to note that even Hades will be cast into hell. And it says in 20, verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and Hades gave up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, everyone according to their deeds. Then death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Now, the lake of fire is hell, and hell is the lake of fire. When we use the word hell, we're actually referring not to Hades, that's that waiting place. We're referring to the lake of fire, which is the eternal place that people go who do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. By the way, one of the questions asked last hour was this, if someone dies and goes to Hades, can they choose then to give their life to Christ? And the answer is no. If you want to write this verse down, Hebrews 9:27 says it is appointed for men to die once and then the judgment. They don't have it in a second chance. You either choose now or you end up there. But hell is a very real place. And in Revelation 20, verse 15, it says, and if anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. Now, your name is written in the book of life the minute you genuinely give your life to Jesus Christ and make him Savior and Lord. The minute you say yes to God in faith, calling out for him to bring salvation to you, God writes your name for all eternity in that book of life, and he names you as his. But the question is, has your name ever been written there? And hopefully most of you, if not all of you, the answer is yes, yes, yes. But if not, then only thing that awaits anybody whose name is not written in the book of life is hell. Hell is described, and if you look at your notes, I wrote these down so you can read and study on it later. Hell is described as eternal fire. Hell is described as eternal torment. Hell is described as being eternally away from God's presence and God's glory. Now, you might be asking, okay, why is it torment and why is it agony? And here's the answer. Because right now, whether you know it or not, God's presence is keeping you from that. See, God is here right now, and we live our whole life that the presence of God all around us. But hell is a place where the presence of God is not known, not felt, and not there to rescue people from the agony and the pain they would have. So hell is hell because it's a place where the presence of God is not felt. Hell is hell also because love is not there. You see, God is love, and the love you have right now around you actually comes from him. And when he's gone, it's left, and all there is darkness and wickedness. The other thing you need to know is sin begins to eat people from the inside out in hell. Now, why is that? Because even right now, God is protecting you from that. See, whether you know him or not, the Bible says God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. And so God keeps that at least in some check for you. But when God takes his hand off of you and you're in a lake of fire, it begins to come away, give way in you in a way that's horrible and horrific because wickedness takes over. And the agony and the pain and the torment is there. Now, God's desire is not for anyone to go to hell. His desire is that everyone would spend eternity with him in heaven. And the reality is that God actually prepared hell for the devil and his angels. But anybody who does not choose God will go there. Jesus, talking about this, said in Matthew 25, verse 41, he's talking about the parable of the talents, which we looked at last week in stewardship. He said, then he, the Lord, will say to those on his left, and this is the great white throne judgment, depart from me, you accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. And then they themselves will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? And then he, the Lord, will answer them saying, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. So Jesus said people go to one of two places, and hell is that place of eternal punishment. And so we need to be aware of that, that was prepared for the devil and his angels. But if anyone does not have their name written in the book of life, if anyone does not know Jesus as Savior and Lord, then that's the place they'll go to. By the way, in the last days, there will arise a man called the Antichrist, and with him the false prophet at the end of December. We'll get into that more. The false prophet will be a worldwide religious leader who seeks to deceive people into following the ways of the Antichrist, leaving Christ and any hope of going to heaven. And those two will be thrown in the lake of fire first, 1,000 years before anyone else. And in Revelation 19:20, I want you to really listen to these words. It says this, and the beast, who's the Antichrist, was seized, and with him the false prophet, who performed the signs in his presence, by which, now catch this, he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast, if you're not aware, and again, we'll get to it at the end of December, is something that will be handed out in the last days. It's something you cannot buy or sell without. It's something on your right hand that allows you to access your financial resources, or something on your forehead. And the word forehead in the Greek is actually metaopon. It means in the midst of the eye. So what that means is that come a day where there'll be a cashless society, and everybody who receives this mark, you're going to see in a minute, will actually be cast into hell. But what I don't want you to miss, we just read, is it comes with deception. It comes with deception. The majority of people who go to hell are deceived into going there. Almost none of your family and friends, when you're talking to them and say, hey, where do you want to go when you die? Hey, I choose hell. How many people choose hell, really? But you know what? Here's what I want you to know. You might say, but is it possible for people to be deceived into going to hell? Well, the answer is obviously yes. Here's why. Because when you say to somebody, well, you don't want to go to hell, where do you want to go? I want to go to heaven. Well, what makes you think you'll go to heaven? What's the number one answer given? Because I'm what? A good person. Is that being self-deceived or what? See, because we're not going to heaven because we're good. We're going to heaven because Jesus Christ is good and he wants to take us there. Amen. See, that's what you need to know and never forget. And when the mark comes with deception. Almost nobody who takes the mark is going to know what they're doing. And Satan has always worked that way. The devil has always sought to deceive. And in the last days, it will get worse and worse. And then it says in Revelation 19, 20 at the end, it says, these two, the Antichrist and the false prophet, were thrown alive into the lake of fire, which burns with brimstone. And I'm going out of order if it's on your notes, but catch this. Revelation 14, 9 says, then another angel, a third one, followed them, saying with a loud voice. Now catch this. If anyone worships the beast in his image and receives a mark on his forehead, in the midst of his eye, or on his hand, he will also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is mixed in full strength in the cup of his anger, and he will be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of his torment goes up forever and ever. And they have no rest day and night, those who worship the beast in his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. And then here's the call for you and I who are believers. Here is the perseverance of the saints who keep the commandments of God and their faith in Jesus. He says, hang in there. Hang on. Hold on, don't let go, don't give in. No, that what you're doing will matter more than you know if you stay faithful to the Lord. Now, what Jesus wants us to know is when he returns again, that what will decide whether someone goes to heaven or to hell is whether we know him and obey the gospel. We're in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and it's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. And it says this in verse 6. For after all, it is only just for God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to those who are afflicted and to us as well when the Lord Jesus will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire. The first time Jesus came, he came as a baby in a manger to be our Savior. The second coming of Christ, he comes as a judge to judge the world with flaming fire. When he appears, it's to bring judgment. And it goes on to say in verse 8, what will he do? Dealing out retribution to those. Now, who gets the retribution? Who gets judged? To those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. See, the question's going to be, do you know him? If you know him, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. If you do not know him, then it's not. And the idea isn't, do you have head knowledge that he exists? Do you actually know him? Do you have a real relationship with him? The word know there is a Greek word gnosko. It means to know by experience. And here, if you're brand new, the most joyous thing I can tell you is that God wants to have a relationship with you. When we got into Believe, the first week, there's only one true God. The second is God wants to be personal with you. And so he's provided a way of salvation so that you might come into a very real relationship with him as your Savior and as your Lord. His love will be real to you. His presence will be known. His voice will be guiding you. And he will show you a plan for your life. His love, his peace, his joy, his forgiveness, his cleansing, all becomes yours. And your relationship with him is a growing relationship. And I want to ask the question, looking around the room, the majority of you, the answer is going to be yes. But you ready? Do you know him? Do you know the Lord? But notice it says, and he's going to do this, those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. You see, there are a group of people that actually know and believe that Jesus exists, but they don't obey. Now you're not saved by obedience, but those who are saved will be obedient. And the reality is there's a lot of people, they know what the Bible teaches. They know who Jesus is. They know he died on the cross for their sins, but they've never chosen to give their lives to him, to live their life for him and with him. And so the Bible says that when Jesus comes, he's going to come bringing judgment. Peter said this in 2 Peter chapter 1. For those people, it would have been better if they never knew the way of righteousness, the truth, than having come to know it, turned away. You know what? Because I want to tell you, hell will be horrible, period. But for someone who deep down knew what they should do, who knew the opportunity, who knew the love of God was there for them and said no, and for what? For what? What would stop somebody? And I hope all of us will say we're hoping that never happens to people we know and love and care about, or to anyone. And then in verse 9 it says, these will pay the penalty of eternal destruction away from the presence of the Lord and from his glorious power when he comes to be glorified in his saints on that day and to be marveled at among all who have believed, for our testimony to you is believed. Now, we have a passionate commitment to the cause, which is to go out and bring the gospel to people who do not know the Lord. And I hope all of you who are in the Crossroads family, you would say this, that we want to be a church that shines as a light for God individually and together, going out to reach our family and our friends and our neighbors and our coworkers, because we have a passion for none of them to go to hell, because God doesn't want them to go there. And I hope you and I would say this, this church exists to assault the gates of hell and to see as many people saved as possible. But we need to have that passion, and we need to know how real this is. Revelation 21 verse 8 tells who will not go to heaven, get ready for this, but the cowardly, those who are afraid to make a commitment to the Lord, and the unbelieving, those who do not believe in God, and abominable, and murderers, and immoral persons, and sorcerers. I'm gonna stop on that one. Some of you are going, there are sorcerers? Well, the word sorcerer actually is the Greek word pharmakia. Does everybody know what pharmakia, what English word do we get? Pharmacy. That word literally means those who use drugs. So if you've ever taken Tylenol or ibuprofen, you're going to hell. No, I'm kidding. No, it would be illegal drug use. Well, it would be wrong drug use. The problem is we've started legalizing a lot of the drugs you shouldn't take. Can you imagine we live in a world that does that? Does that kind of tell you how close we are to the last days? But the bottom line is, as God says, those who use drugs to alter their minds and become addicted and in bondage to it, but don't choose freedom in him and to truly live without that numbing sensation, God says, you know what? They're not coming to heaven. And then it goes on to say, and idolaters and all liars. By the way, how many lies does it take to be a liar? One, yeah. And this room is filled with liars. Now you might say, but then how can we go to heaven? Here's the cool thing. Anyone who chooses to give their life to Jesus Christ, the blood of Christ is applied to you, and all of that is washed away and forgotten by God. And so that's what we can love. But if someone doesn't choose to believe and doesn't choose to come and doesn't make him Savior and Lord, it says their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now, we all need to understand that God's desire is that no one go there. Jesus Christ came and died on the cross to make a difference. By the way, that is the most heroic measure possible, to call for someone not to end up in a place like that. And if someone says, well, God didn't do enough, what more could he do than give his only begotten son? But he did, because he loves you and he cares about you. You know what it says in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. God's great desire is for everyone to choose him, but they have to make the choice. And if they do make the choice, then number two comes, ready? They get to go to heaven. They get to go to heaven. You see, there's hell and there's heaven. And God's great desire is that we would be in heaven with him. By the way, that's the very definition of heaven, that you get to be in the real presence of the Lord. In John 14, verse 1, Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would not have told you. I love this. For I go to prepare a place for you. I go to prepare a place for you. So what's Jesus right now? He's preparing a place for you. You know, he spent 6 days creating this universe. He's spending 2,000 years preparing your place. Do you kind of catch how cool it's going to be? It gets really cool in a minute, but listen to what he says in verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way I'm going. Now, right away, Thomas goes, but we don't know. Listen to what he says. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Here's the only way to get to heaven. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. The only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, knowing him as Savior and Lord, really being in a relationship with him and experiencing his love. And when you do, know this, Jesus right now wants you there. He wants you there so badly. He's preparing a place for you. And when we start to think about what heaven's like, it's obviously beyond description, beyond imagination. But God has put eternity in our hearts so we can understand some things about heaven. So get ready to understand this. The first thing I want you to grab is heaven is huge. Heaven's huge. Now you might think, is that big a deal? Listen to what it says in Revelation 21, verse 15, when it describes the city of heaven. It says in verse 15, the angel who talked to me held in his hand a gold measuring stick to measure the city, its gates and its walls. When he measured it, he found it was a square as wide as it was long. In fact, its length and width and height are 1,400 miles. Then he measured the city walls and found them to be 216 feet thick, according to the human standard used by angels. God wanted you to get an idea that heaven is vast. Heaven is amazingly large. As a matter of fact, just the city of heaven alone, it's a cube, is 2,744,000 cubic miles. That's huge, right? And you might say, well, how do I grasp that? I want you to think about this. One pastor said, and he's probably somewhat accurate, that when you take in all the history of the world, those who truly choose to follow Jesus Christ, probably about 2 billion people will. That means that all of us who have said yes to God, we probably get our own cubic mile that's ours. Now, you might say, well, what is that? See, right now, if I said, well, how big is the place you live? Some of you would say, well, where I live is 700 square feet. The majority of our life, Pam and I lived in a wonderful 700 square foot home. And it was just a great place. And we loved it. And some of you would say, no, my home is 1,500 square feet. And some of us go, well, that's pretty big. And others go, my home is 3,000 square feet. And some of us go, that's pretty big. And some of you go, no, I've got one of those new homes that's over 4,000 square feet. And we'd say, why aren't you hosting a life group? No, that's pretty big. But you ready? In heaven, you get a cubic mile all to yourself, decorated by Jesus Christ. Yeah, and so it's going to be huge, and it's going to be amazing. And by the way, don't miss this. Heaven's going to be colorful. See, when media portrays heaven, how do they portray it? White. White clouds, white walls, white sky. That's called insanity. God is a God of color. Heaven's going to be vibrant. In Revelation 21, 18, it tells of the precious stones that make up heaven, and the colors that come out of them are incredible. They'll be dark blue and streaming browns, tans, and reds. They'll be deep black and orange. There's going to be crimson, red, and green. In other words, heaven's going to be vibrant and amazing that way. And then I love this one. Ready? Heaven's going to be loud and passionate. Yeah. I just think that's so cool. You know, why is that a big deal? Because how does the media portray heaven? It's boring. You know, you're sitting there with your harp. Hey, Bob, what do you want to play? You know, I mean, but that's not what heaven's like. Heaven's going to be loud and passionate. Listen to about the worship in heaven. When it talks about the 24 elders worshiping around the throne of God, it says in Revelation 4, verse 4, 24 thrones surrounded him, God, and 24 elders sat on them, and they were all clothed in white and had gold crowns on their heads. From the throne, while they're worshiping, came flashes of lightning and the rumble of thunder. And in front of the throne were seven torches burning with flame. These are the sevenfold spirits of God. Now, did you catch what's going on there? I loved our worship today, but heaven's going to be better. We're going to be worshiping, and God's going to shoot lightning at us. Whoa, you're not going to be bored. And there's gonna be rumbling, thunder. And then later on in Revelation 4, it gets really passionate. It says the elders, they grab their thrones and they throw them to God and they dive on their faces worshiping God. Then somehow they get back up and the crowns come boomeranging back and they catch it. And I can't wait to see that happen. And they're gonna throw them again. They'll come back, throw them, and they're just gonna keep going. And in Isaiah chapter 6, it says, when the angels worship, the very foundations of heaven begin to shake. You see, I want to tell you, it's going to be amazingly vibrant and beautiful and huge vitality and exciting because God's made you to live, and life there is going to be a way of living. And the part we all really love, it's a place of no more pain and no more crying. No crying and no pain. In Revelation 21, verse 1, it says, then I saw a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there is no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no longer any death, and there'll be no longer any mourning or crying or pain, the first things that passed away. By the way, I don't know if you caught it. I caught it. He will wipe away their tears. Not he'll just say, tears be gone. The other day we had our grandkids over, and it's going to happen. You don't put three kids in a house without somebody getting hurt, right? So Tatum goes down. The tears start to come. And man, right away, I love it. I sweep her up in my arms and I just hold her and cuddle her, and then I get to wipe away her tears. Do you realize how intimate and personal that is? God says, I want to actually come to you, love on you, and wipe away the tears. The times you were hurt, the times people were cruel, the times you messed up, the time tragedy hit and it just came out of nowhere. And all of a sudden that starts to kind of dwell up, and God says, I'm taking it all away. And in heaven, you're not gonna cry another tear. In heaven, you're only gonna know joy. You're gonna only know peace. You're gonna only know love. You're gonna only know his presence. That's what God wants for you, and that's what he's made for you. And in heaven, he wants to give you a new body. I want you to think about that. In 1 Corinthians 15, 42 to 49, it says that the body we have right now is a perishable body, but he wants to give you an imperishable one. The body you have right now is tired and weak, but he wants to give you one with power and vitality. It says the body you have now is made light in the likeness of Adam, but the body you have then is in the likeness of Jesus Christ. That's what those verses tell you. And in 1 John 4, it says, we do not know what we'll look like or what we'll appear to be, but we know that when he appears at the rapture, we will be transformed and be like him. You'll have a body like you can't imagine because God wants you to live, really live. And so, by the way, real quickly, I want to say this. How do we go to heaven? Well, there's one of two ways. Either die and you'll go to heaven, or the rapture. The rapture. What's the rapture? The rapture is when all those who are alive and when Jesus Christ appears in the clouds right before his second coming, we're caught up in the air to be with the Lord. We're taken out of an evil world where the judgment of God starts to be enacted in what's called the Great Tribulation. God's great desire is in that moment says, I don't want anybody left behind, but if you choose to be left behind, you will. So he comes and calls all those who are his to him. And the word rapture actually comes from a Latin word, raptus, which means the snatching away or the carrying off. The word raptus actually is a translation of a Greek word, harpazo, and harpazo means to snatch away and to carry off. So here's what I want you to know. Where do we get the theological term rapture from? It's from the Latin translation of the New Testament. It really is a biblical word. And it's found in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, amongst other places, where it says, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, so we will always be with the Lord. The Bible says a day is coming where Jesus Christ is going to call for those who are alive. We'll just disappear in a moment, be caught up to be with him. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13 to 18, in context, it says, but we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, those who've died, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. We know those who die and know the Lord, we shouldn't be sad about in reality. Not maybe because we miss them, but we don't grieve because we know they're in a better place. Verse 14 says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up, raptured, together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with those words. That all of a sudden we'll just be caught up, we'll be grabbed forth, we'll be snatched away. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says it will happen in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, that our bodies will be transformed, and this perishable will put on imperishable, and this mortal will put on immortality. That day is going to come soon. We're living at the end of time. And so some of you and some of us, maybe me, are going to die. And then others of you will be left alive and the rapture is going to happen. If it happened right now, which it could, by the way, then everybody here who knows the Lord, we just disappear. We'd be gone. We'd be with the Lord forever. If it happened on a commuting day on the 91 freeway, then there would be all these people disappearing and there wouldn't be any wrecks because the 91 just sits still. But anyway. But it's just gonna happen in a moment. And the Lord says, are you ready? Are you ready? But by the way, are we ready? Are we ready for eternity? Are we ready for that moment? Are we ready to say yes to him? Because his great desire is that you and I would be ready. Jesus, talking about this, said in Matthew 24, verse 36, but of the day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they did not understand. That's how the majority of the world is right now. They did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then Jesus said, there will be two men in the field, one taken, one left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken and one left. Pow, just gone. Why? Because God says there's an eternity. So here's the question I want to ask you as we get ready to close. Where will you spend eternity? And the answer isn't where do you want to spend eternity. The answer is, do you love the Lord or not? If you love the Lord, if you know the Lord, if you live life with him, by the way, which is what you and I, everybody here was made for. That God wants you to come to know him as your Abba, Father, your dad. He wants you to live life with him. He wants to guide you. He wants to care for you. He wants to help you defeat things that try to defeat you. But most of all, he wants you to be his child. And you know what? He can't wait to get you to heaven. There's some purposes we all have still on earth, but he can't wait to get you to heaven. And so at the very end, the rapture happens, and those who are his and ready go, and those who are not, they don't. And see, here's the thing I want you to know. Everybody here today knows. Nobody here today can say you don't know. You may say, I don't want to believe it, but that doesn't make it not true. But what I want you to know most of all is that God could not love you more than he does. He loved you so much, he did send his only son to die on the cross for you. Jesus died for you so that your sins would be forgiven and your hurts and your pains would be healed. He died for the things we did wrong, but he also died for the things that were done to us that hurt us. And if you're here today and you're ready to be set free, the Lord wants to set you free. He wants to love you. He wants you to actually come to know him. Very, very real. Come to know him. He wants you to open your heart to him, and he wants to pour love into you and give you the Holy Spirit. He wants to start showing you the life you were always meant for and the person he made you to be. And the great call of God is, will you come know my love? If you're here and you don't know the Lord, you might ask, how do I do it? Well, Jesus said these words. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone, that means you, would open up to him, he would come in and be with you. And he said, I'll share life with you. And you'll actually have this incredible relationship. So how do you open up? Well, the Bible says it's a two-step process. Number one, it starts privately when you pray and you actually say, Lord, come in, come in. Come take my sin. Come free me. Come make me different. Come make me new. And you call out to him, Lord, take away the hurt and pain, the fear that's in my life. I want to live with you and for you. And you commit to live your life with the Lord, and he wants to come show you that life. His grace is there. His love is there. His forgiveness comes. And that's what we call repenting, where you call out and say, Lord, come take me. Come take me. And he's going to come. The second step, by the way, is that you have to proclaim what you've done. So it starts with a private prayer and then a public proclamation. And the Bible, we need to be willing to live for the Lord in a very outward way. So it makes sense that if you pray a prayer that's that important and means that much, you need to do something about it. And what do? Right after you pray the prayer, we're going to ask everyone to stand to sing. And if you say yes to God, we're going to ask you to make your way to the aisle or to the stairs, to come down here, to walk that aisle, walk forward, come down here. Let us greet you in this room we call our living room, where we celebrate life. We have people who'd love to talk with you and share with you things you need to know to live with the Lord and for the Lord, to know the next steps to take. But I want to ask you, are you ready to say yes to him? See, I believe with all my heart, there's some of you here that the Holy Spirit's wanting you to do this. God's wanting you to do this. There's something inside you right now that knows it's your time. And your eternity changes in this moment when you say yes to the Lord. God's relationship with you becomes real when you say yes to the Lord. And I know deep inside, you know God wants you. And if you do not know him right now, I'm going to ask you, would you pray that prayer to give your life to him and then make that walk? If you're a Christian, but you're not living in a truly committed way, you're not living life in a way that's truly intimate with God, maybe you're doing things that a Christian should not do, then let me say this, God loves you, but he wants to call you from that. But he's calling you from that because there's so much more for you. Maybe there's just for some reason you go, I don't even know what happened between me and God. You need to recommit your life. So if you're here and you're a Christian, you're not living in a very vital, wonderful way with God, I'm going to ask you, would you commit yourself to him and make that walk again? If you're here today and there's a lot of pain, a lot of hurt in your life, maybe lonely, maybe you just feel so lonely or lost, or maybe you're ashamed. Or maybe somebody has done something to you that wasn't right and it's almost plaguing you. Well, then open up to God, open up to Jesus and ask for his healing. And what I'm gonna ask you to do is commit yourself to him completely. And then I'm gonna ask you to make that walk too. And watch what happens as Jesus Christ puts his hand upon you. And whatever happened, whatever you did or whatever was done to you, the power of it's taken away and it doesn't define you anymore. It doesn't determine how you act, and you find yourself living in the freedom you should. So right now, I want all of us who know the Lord to start praying for people who need to say yes to him. This matters. Please, please, if you love God, start praying and interceding. And then I want to start by praying, and then I'm going to ask anyone today who wants to say yes to the Lord, would you pray that prayer with me right where you're sitting? Let's pray. Father, I praise you and thank you for Jesus who came and died on the cross. Because, Lord, we needed it. We needed him. We needed his death. We need the freedom. We need the cleansing. And, Lord, I thank you for the amazing grace you poured upon me and so many others of the Crossroads family. Because we said yes to you. And now I pray for anyone who's here who needs to say yes to you. I pray, oh God, my Father, that you would touch them. I pray they would know it's their time. I pray right now they would know there's been moments in their past that you've called out to them, and there's someone here that I know right now knows that he knows, Lord, that there was so many times he could sense you calling and he said he didn't do anything about it or even said no, but right now he can say yes. And I pray he's going to say yes and come. Father, I pray for someone who's just got horrible news this week. And I pray they're going to say yes and come. Lord, for someone who had something happen that scared them. Oh, it scared them. They can't believe they were a part of it. I pray, God, right now they're going to know you can take them and free them from what occurred and transform it. And they can come. Lord, I want to pray for anyone who's just never met you before. Lord, I pray there's a stirring now and they're realizing how real you are and they're going to come. So Lord, for those who need to say yes for the first time, those who need to come back, Lord, I want to pray for couples who need to do this as a couple and put their marriage in your hands. Their family, Lord, needs your love, and it could be a great family if they'd say yes. I pray they're going to come. Right now, I'm going to lead that prayer. I'd love for you to pray it with me. Just whisper the words right where you're at. But before I do, let me give you a second. Do you know it's your time? He wants you. He loves you. If so, pray this prayer. Whisper these words. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me, and I know you died on the cross to cleanse me and to forgive me from all my sin, to heal me from hurt and from pain, to free me from anything that would hold me down or hold me back. And say this, say, I know you want me to be yours, and you want me to be alive, and you want me to be brand new. So I say yes. Get those words out. I say yes. Yes, I want you, and yes, I want the life you have for me. So I open my heart to you. Please fill me with your love and fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me completely yours. For this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. And amen if you pray that prayer. Amen if you pray that prayer.